And now, back to brainstorming with Billy.
A perfectly good brain wasted.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
And you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara Counties. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is success or failure. Each of my guests will point out the thin line between success and failure in their particular area of interest. My next guest is an IBM fellow and the inventor of the magnetic strips on the back of our credit cards. We'll discuss IBM's first 100 years and how the company is making the world a better place. And it should be noted that today is the 100th anniversary of IBM in this country. There have only been a handful of companies that have lived to be 100 years old. Kerry Holloway was born in Chicago, Illinois, and he currently lives in Northern California. He's IBM's CEO back in 2006, appointed Kerry an IBM fellow. That's IBM's highest technical leadership position. It's the highest honor that a scientist and engineer programmer can possibly achieve at IBM. Kerry's expertise centers around software architecture, software engineering, business architecture, BPM, SOA, IT architecture, and so many other things. Kerry has a BA in mathematics from DePaul University and a JD degree from DePaul School of Law. Welcome to the show, Kerry. How are you today?
I am doing great. Thanks for inviting me.
Well, thank you for being here, and let me offer you congratulations. Happy birthday on IBM's 100th birthday today.
Well, thank you. It's a great centennial year for us.
Absolutely it is. Well, let's go back to probably your most famous president, and that is Tom Watson Sr. He was the legendary IBM CEO. He believed, and I quote now, if you really create something of value, not just technology, that you're going to be around for a very long time and something that is enduring, not just big. So your 100th anniversary, clearly he was prescient in predicting that you were going to be around for a long time. How does Mr. Watson Sr. belief perpetuate itself throughout IBM today, Kerry?
Well, I think it first and foremost the value that we bring to our clients, the value we bring to the world. I think that's the number one thing. If you look at what we've done over the last 100 years, we've provided the DNA of the technology industry. Every company that you see here in Silicon Valley, where I live, and every technology company is using our technology in some way, whether it's the RAM, hard disk, whether it's the storage, whether it's processor, whether it's software, they're using stuff that we've built, that we've invented.
So in a way, it makes IBM the grandfather of all of these high-tech companies, Groupon, Google, you name it. All of the new companies today really owe their start to groundwork that IBM laid in the 50s, 60s, 70s, and 80s.
Absolutely, and not just not just those decades. Even as we speak now, we're still laying that groundwork. You see some of that with the Watson demonstration that we did on Jeopardy.
Well, talk to me about that. We were going to discuss that a little bit later, but now's a good time to bring that up. Here we are. We have Watson, which is the winner on Jeopardy, to actually outsmarted two human contestants. What do you think is the future of artificial intelligence and the ability for machines to actually think, Kerry?
Well, I think the future of artificial intelligence has certainly gotten a big shot in the arm with our demonstration and the technology that we've brought to the marketplace with Watson. Secondly, if you think about natural languages, which is how you and I speak, certainly not the domain of a computer, what we've demonstrated with Watson, what the technology demonstrates, is that we can actually have computers understand the human language. We can actually have them understand natural language with all of its ambiguities, with all of its puns, nuances, something that you and I know through culture, through context, through life experiences. So I think that alone is very powerful.
Without a doubt. Understanding the human language, the spoken word, is important. The other side of computer technology that I see advances in is the translation capabilities. Hearing naturally spoken English and being able to translate that into French, German, Mandarin, Chinese, whatever it may be. How close are we there, Kerry?
The technology is there today, so this, that aspect was not demonstrated with Watson, but Watson certainly demonstrated the natural language processing and this deep Q&A technology. But in terms of voice recognition, we certainly have been a pioneer in that technology. It's available today through a lot of avenues. And then secondly, this ability to do what you saw in Star Trek, this computer that does the Q&A and be able to do it in multiple languages, that technology is available as well, and it's only going to get better.
Wow. I mean, the future certainly looks bright. My guest is Kerry Holloway. He is an IBM fellow, and we're really talking about the ways in which IBM is making the world a better place. Kerry, it hasn't always been a bed of roses, though, during the first 100 years. There were a couple of seminal moments in the company's history, and I'd like you to elaborate and talk on two of them. The first was the introduction of the IBM 360 and why that was such a big gamble for Tom Watson Jr. What was the transition there that was so seminal?
Well, it was seminal for a big reason, that it was a big bet on the company in terms of the focus, the amount of resources, and so that's a big bet in and of itself, to actually bet your company that an invention and a technology that you're going to put out on the market is actually going to take hold. And then secondly, that technology revolutionized what we now call the mainframe business. It certainly made that business what it is today in terms of being able to do just massive amount of computing, with at that time as a relatively small computing system.
Well, talk to me about the transition from punch cards, which were the norm prior to the 360, to tape and some of the other interfaces that the IBM 360 had.
Well, we started with, tabulating and recording equipment, and we weren't that big as a company in the 20s. We weren't very international, but we were growing fast. We were a small tech company. So we moved quickly into computational computing. So the computational computing took several forms, but it's clearly where Watson saw the future in terms of organizations processing massive amounts of data. In fact, it was IBM who really saw the future of information and created this culture of innovation and this information as a science, computer science. I mean, it's something we've contributed heavily at the university level as well.
Absolutely. You're profound in the work that you do at the university level. Talk to me, Kerry, if you will, about another seminal moment in IBM's history, when IBM lost its way in the 80s and 90s, and how your now CEO, Sam Palmisano, revived the company.
Well, a couple of things. I think one is we clearly lost focus in terms of our customer set. So that was and what they needed to be successful and to grow. So that was sort of taking your eye off the ball. And what our current chairman and CEO is doing, Sam, is we're very focused on our customers and very focused on value creation and innovation. And so when you look at our company today, we've got a very outstanding track record in terms of making cities smarter, making the planet smarter, and just creating value for our world.
Well, let's talk about some of that value, if we can, Kerry, because so many of us take the inventions that IBM has made for granted today in our day-to-day lives. So let's just talk about some of the areas in which you being IBM, of course, really have revolutionized things. You popularized the PC, which was very interesting. Something that I didn't know until I started doing research on your 100th anniversary is you guys are instrumental in LASIK surgery, eye surgery. Talk to me about that, if you will.
Well, that was very interesting. In 1980, we had three scientists, a guy named Srinivasan, James Wynn, Samuel Bloom, who discovered this newly invented excimer laser could actually remove human tissue without harming the surrounding area and do so on an extremely minute scale, a process that really has become the foundation for LASIK surgery. So this painless procedure, which changes the shape of the cornea, obviously has improved the vision and quality of life for more than 20 people around the world.
Without a doubt. No doubt about it. My daughter and my wife have both taken advantage of LASIK surgery, so my thanks to you for that. Something else, when we go to the grocery store and we're checking out UPC codes, that is something that IBM was instrumental in. Talk to me about how UPC has really changed the way not only that we buy things, but the way in which we market and the distribution systems behind the scenes.
Well, when you think about magnetic stripes, that was interesting as well, because it was something that we sort of discovered by accident. But at the same time, when you look at the value that it's bringing today in terms of the ability of all of us to simply using magnetic tape storage, mm-hmm. to be able to make grocery purchases, to really just be global in our use of commerce around the world. So it's been a pretty good invention, just really a strip of magnetic tape with a piece of plastic to create an identity card. We did this originally for the CIA, but it's it's a pretty interesting technology.
Government technology at its best. My guest is Carrie Holly. We're talking about IBM's 100th anniversary and some of the innovations that IBM has come up with along the last 100 years. Something else that you all are instrumental in that I might have a bone to pick with you about, and that is the computerized airline reservation system. You know, when first came out with American Airlines had Sabre, that was the very first one that was commercialized. Now it's gotten to the point where you go online and you can find reservations through all different types of websites that will offer you a deal. The problem is chasing down all of the different deals. But you were instrumental. You've led the way and brought us to where we are today. So talk to me about those early computerized airline reservation systems and maybe some of the challenges that went into developing those.
Well, when you think about some of the first online transaction systems built in the early 60s, 1962, they had a tremendous technical challenge in terms of, like, a reservation system has to be able to, or an agent anywhere in the world, be able to make a reservation, and we're talking thousands of reservations that might be needed to be made per second. So the enormous transaction processing capability was a challenge, and we developed a reservation system that would allow companies to track, fill, and record, you know, thousands of passengers as they packed these new jets. And so this was an enormous success. It became something known as Sabre, which enabled a major transformation of the airline reservation systems. And little known fact, that technology is still being used today, still the core of airline reservation systems.
Wow, that is incredible. And that's an enduring legacy that IBM has brought to the world. My guest is Carrie Holly. Carrie, I want you to do a little compare and contrast for me between two technology giants, one who was very successful, that's IBM, and one who is not so successful, that's Xerox. How is it that IBM was able to capitalize on its inventions while Xerox was never really able to monetize the inventions that they come up with? And Xerox, just so people know, were the inventors of the mouse, the graphical user interface, Ethernet, and so many other things. How is it that you guys have been able to really capitalize on it, whereas Xerox, a competitor, has not been able to?
Well, I think, you know, fundamentally, our chairman, and if you look at what Sam is doing today, we've been extremely customer-focused. We have the largest research division in the world, and, you know, we've got thousands of researchers. But one of the things we've done, and we've done this for a number of years, increasingly with more focus, is innovations that matter is obviously key to our success. But at the same time, our researchers, for example, we have 1,000 researchers focused on services today. And that means that the research that we do really does have a customer value proposition, has a value proposition in making this world smarter. So I think that's a big difference in terms of our success is really research that matters.
Yeah, I like that. Research that matters, innovations that matter. That is crux to it. Carrie, if you take a look at it, can you open up the kimono a little bit and give us an idea of some of the things that IBM is working on in the near term that might influence society 10, 15 years down the road?
Oh, absolutely. I think, you know, we've got a scientist not too far from where I live in Almaden, Don Iger, and he's been doing some work. You know, we sort of look at it. You may have seen some of these demonstrations where he's used this technology to move atoms. But, you know, that type of action is really the core of nanotechnology. And the smaller you make things, the smarter in some cases you make things. I mean, if you think about the stuff that we buy today that carries and holds thousands of songs, thousands of videos. This stuff is made possible because we can actually manipulate properties at a smaller level. So I think that's one thing, nanotechnology that we're doing. Another thing is around analytics. When you think about the ability to actually gain insights, Watson is a great demonstration of analytics as well. This ability to do this deep Q&A, so artificial intelligence, natural language processing. I think those are definitely some look-aheads in terms of where a lot of the value that we bring to the table is coming to play in the marketplace.
Without a doubt. Let me dive in a little deeper, if I can, with you, Carrie, on nanotechnology. Moving atoms is one thing, and certainly that is remarkable in and of itself. But how close are we to actually developing nanomachines? For example, how close are we to developing a nanomachine that we can drop into somebody's bloodstream that will actually move through the system and maybe chew away at a clot or building plaque that's building up in an artery?
Well, this is not my core area of expertise, but I can tell you this, that you know, the technology is actually there today. You've got doctors today that have the basis of, I don't know exactly what these things are called, that actually flow in the bloodstream to actually take pictures of a person's organs. Mm. And that provides a doctor an incredible amount of insight. But the basis of that is nanotechnology. So that's actually here today. I mean, what we saw, I don't remember the movie's name, where we had this little...
Fantastic Voyage,
yeah,
where the
Fantastic
submarine...
Fantastic Voyage, exactly.
Right.
But that's here today. I mean, we see that in the medical field, and in the example I just gave. We see it in heart, you know, patients with heart issues, where there's that kind of technology in terms of some of the pacemakers. We see it in the... So the technology is here.
My guest is Kerry Holley. He is an IBM fellow. We're celebrating IBM's 100th anniversary today. Congratulations to you for that. And Kerry, I'm going to call you on the carpet because right now IBM is running a commercial where you have IBM engineers standing up there talking about how they're moving things forward in society, particularly how they're working on cleaner air and cleaner water. Can you give us some insight into the work that IBM's doing to help clean up the planet?
Oh, absolutely. So, yeah, those commercials are definitely I think fascinating in terms of how we're you know, cleaning the world, making transportation systems better, et cetera. So, you know, some of the stuff that we've been doing in terms of transportation is that we've been working to like in Singapore to actually make problems that people thought were intractable in terms of moving people faster and actually stopping traffic grids. In terms of intelligent water systems, we did a project in with the Marine Institute in Ireland where we sort of monitored and analyzed wave conditions, marine life, pollution levels around Galway Bay using an infrastructure of sensors, computational technology that was interconnected in the bay to distribute information on coastal conditions. So this was this project served as an example for coastal towns to actually look to mitigate pollution and flooding while managing their fishing stock. So that's a great example of our researchers learning important lessons about harnessing energy from wave power.
Wow. I mean, that is exciting. And maybe someday we'll see that here in Ventura County as well. You never know. My guest is Kerry Holley. Kerry, IBM over the last 100 years has had so many business lessons that can be learned. But what can other companies really learn from IBM's success?
Well, I think there's several things. I think keeping a focus on creation and value creation, I think is one. I talked about innovation that matters, but also you know, we look at the world as it is and we think about how to make that world better. So you know, the other thing that we've done, I think that's unique, is that we've integrated several disciplines. Those disciplines being research, services, software, and technology. So I think that's a lesson learned as well, is you know, integrating all of those technologies to make the world better. And, you know, also I think, you know, if you look at, you know, some of the things we've done on the societal side, you know, we've hired a handicapped employee. We put in policies around civil rights, you know, 10 years before the 1964 Civil Rights Act. You know, if you look at the advancement of women, just some incredible things. And, of course, you know, positions like I have as an IBM fellow, we certainly promote and advance technical leadership.
Well, it has been an exciting first 100 years. Continued success in the next 100. My guest has been Kerry Holley, who is a fellow at IBM. Kerry, if people want to learn more about you, learn more about IBM, where would you direct them to go on the Internet?
I would definitely go to www.ibm.com. There's just a wealth of information, and I would also go to YouTube and look at the IBM channel there, where there's some great videos on our centennial and just some great videos on what we're doing and technology. So I would start with those two places.
Oh, that is wonderful. Thank you so much, Kerry, for being my special guest. We'll talk to you down the road.
Thank you very much.